What's so great about? What's so great about?
Podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
I'm very well, Terry. Very well. And you?
I too am well, Andy.
Good to hear it.
Yes, sir.
Long time no speak, huh?
Absolutely. It's not like we were podcasting for a different podcast last night for an hour and a half.
Yeah, we were guests.
How about that, huh?
Of honor.
Look, I'm just going to do something now because I don't want to do it and I want to get it over with, okay?
Okay.
So a friend of mine, friend of the podcast, it even looks rotten looking at it. Friend of the podcast, Colin Pilo, sent me a picture of the new Whisper Gold with hazelnut.
You know, yes.
You see this one? It's a green
bar.
I have. And he said it tastes like shite and he asked me would I taste it.
Okay, great.
On the air. Now, you know me, I'm a Whisperman from way back.
Of course, since day one. Since Jump Street.
Now, I'm also going to crack a can because I'm feeling I'm going to need to wash the taste of this out of my mouth.
Okay.
Now, look at this, Andy.
Fizz. Fizz. A nice can of fizz.
Like if there ever was a drink to sum me up. Hey, what you got there, Terry?
Fizz. Terry and his can of fizz pop. You'd never be without it.
It's a pear cider. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, pear cider. Did you know you can't, for love nor money, find pear ciders anywhere anymore? It's like they took it off the market for some reason. You can't get a Copperberg pear cider. You can't get a Recorder League. That was their main one, was Copperberg. They got rid of the apple first. The apple was the best one. And then they got rid of the pear one. Now they only have the fucking fruity flavours.
Where'd you get that shit then?
I got it in Super Value.
I'll tell you
exactly where it's from. It's from
Super Value.
It's premium Nordic cider, isn't it?
Where's it from then? If it's Nordic cider, where is it from, Terry?
I'm guessing Norway, but Nordic is a very general term, isn't it?
That's what I would have said. I would have said Norway too.
Yeah, I mean, you've been to Oslo.
I have. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Look at it.
Eat the thing.
Oh, God.
It looks awful. Okay, now. All right. He's eating it. I'll describe to you his face. He looks concerned. He's got worried eyebrows.
You know what? It's not as bad as I thought it would have been.
It's more tingly than hot.
Oh, we're off to a flyer.
Brilliant.
Already this week.
A spit take.
Already this week, I feel more alive than I did of all of last week. Let me tell you.
Excellent.
Now,
good to hear it, yes.
I wanted to chat to you. I told you to get ready for this.
Oh, boy.
Last night.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to chat to you about our Spotify wrap. I couldn't do it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's
better. Yeah, okay.
I couldn't get my P's right.
I kind of did it the cheap way. But anyway, we're here now. Spotify Wrapped.
Who was your top artist? I want to know who your top artist was.
I think you can probably take a guess, but
you know what? I want to talk about that too as well. But we'll...
My top artist was the Arctic Monkeys. I'll give you my. I'll break down my top five. Right?
Okay. Top five songs. Then you give me your
artists.
Okay.
Number one, Arctic Monkeys. Mm-hmm. Number two, Bo Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Laffy. It's like a lo-fi beat guy, but like he's loads of albums. I'd always play it in work and stuff. Number four, Brand New. That was a surprise to even me.
That's you fucking putting the work in, getting those playlists ready for me, buddy.
And number
so
five,
long.
Number five, Blink-182.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. How about you?
Top of the heap, Bo Burnham. And did they tell you what your most played song by your number one artist was?
Yes. Mine, yeah, go on, you go first.
Mine was 30 by Bo Burnham.
Ooh, how many times?
No, I don't know. I'd have to go into the app, wouldn't I?
You told me to get ready.
I've got my breakdown of my top five songs as well.
Oh, okay, yeah. Top five songs then.
Well, hold on, I haven't even given you my top five artists yet.
Okay, top five artists then.
Number two is The Beatles.
Oh, very nice.
Number three is Penguin Cafe Orchestra, which was a surprise to me. But then I realised I had them on when I was doing writing quite a bit in the summer. And it's very relaxing.
Creeps up on your rap to those that stuff you put on when you're mid other thing.
Number four was Divine Comedy. Mm-hmm. And this one was shocking to me, but I was quite happy to see it. Number five was Billy Joel.
Hey! Yeah. Down, 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 down. What song am I singing?
Got an old friend.
Yeah.
Used to be. Did you know
that
was written about George Wallace?
George Wallace?
You might know him as Jerry Seinfeld's comedian friend, big tall black guy. Doctor in Seinfeld. We're losing him, Doctor. And he's like, witchy woman, like. When they're playing, like, witchy woman, he's like, ooh.
Oh, no way.
Witchy woman. Stares up. Yeah, it was written about him. He was like Billy Joel's roommate or something like that.
No way.
Yeah.
I love Billy Joel.
Yeah. He's great.
Great to have him in your top five. I'm delighted to hear that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my top five songs.
Yes.
This was indicative of me doing a lot of running this year because I realised they're off my running playlist. Can you guess my number one?
Move on up.
Andy, you know me. What's my one running song?
All these things that I've done.
You know. I said it to Faye and I said, oh, it's like a load of stuff from my running playlist. She's like, so was that killer song? I was like, yeah, that was the one. She's like, was it?
Brilliant. Yeah, go
all
on then.
These things. Number two, Q Jumper by The Divine Comedy.
Okay.
Number three, Hounds of Love by Future Heads.
Future Heads, yeah.
Number four, Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Hounds of Love, that's mad.
That's one, it's fucking dead.
Oh, playlist, I guess. Running playlist,
And then number five is Over and Done With by the Proclaimers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would not have picked any of those in a million years, to be honest.
I wouldn't have either.
Except for all these things that I've
done. I was very surprised. I was like, oh, it's going to be stuff off Garbage Patrol or whatever, like, you know.
I'll be honest, I'm thinking of my Spotify Wrapped all year. Really? I'd be lying if I said in June I don't occasionally have the thought of I'm not sure I listen to this a lot. I wonder where it's going to place on my Wrapped at the end of the year.
I just want to stop you there. I want to say this is bloody delicious.
No, you can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
What are you drinking there? Oh, the pears. The fizz.
It's bloody delicious for all my cider heads out there. Where are my pear heads at? Someone bringing a Porky Pig popsicle.
Okay, I don't know what that tastes like. A Porky Pig?
Yeah. You ever had a Porky Pig when you were younger?
I don't think I had them.
You had them.
I don't think I did.
Everybody had them. They were in circulation.
My top five songs, Terry, are...
Let me guess. Arctic Monkeys is number one.
Yes. Through four.
Oh, God.
Number one is Love is a Laser Quest. Number two.
Tranquility.
That's actually off Suck It and See. Mm-hmm. Number two is Leave Before the Lights Come On. I talked about it recently, but it's not on any album. Number three, Star Treatment, the first song off Tranquility Base. Number four, Do Me a Favor, the greatest song of all time. Even though it's only my number four.
Yeah, funny about that, like, isn't it?
Number five, All Eyes on Me by Bo Burnham.
Man, moving on to your fetishistic fascination with the Arctic Monkeys.
Go on.
I had no idea. You never talk about them. You're like, I've nobody to talk about them with. You never bring them up.
I thought you made a face.
I didn't like that last album.
That's the best one.
No, it's not. It's the worst one.
I guarantee you, you're eventually... See, you just don't know yet that that's your favorite album.
I've tried it twice.
Yeah, you gotta get rid of everything that's come before. Just throw it all away. I know you love AM. This isn't AM.
I hadn't listened to AM. By the way, is it AM or is it AM?
AM.
Because like my Alexa was like playing AM by Arctic Monkeys. I was like, fucking bitch.
She's wrong.
Yeah, of course.
I have to tell you though, like when I was even texting you briefly this morning about Arctic Monkeys, like both sharing our love for different Arctic Monkeys, I was so happy. I was so happy this morning when you told me you were jamming to Knee Socks on AM. Oh. And yes, you, like, it was actually you who got me into AM, like the album AM. Like, I didn't get fully into it.
You weren't giving me anything when I was telling it, because I'd just gone to see them live and I was like, oh, they just did their new album and it was brilliant. Anyway, we might talk about it on another podcast.
Yeah.
I took exception to you, like, oh, Terry makes a face.
Look, I said you liked them to an extent. I'm delighted to hear that you liked them.
First two albums I was in, and like Leave Before the Light Comes On was great single, great video as well. Like, and I remember, I guess I never went looking on Spotify, but I always knew it wasn't on
An album.
I kind of, 3 and 4 kind of was a bit of a drop off.
See, that's kind of where they lost me back in the day, and I was like,
I'm roaring back with AM.
For me, like when I was listening to, just out of the blue, I think it was on my Discover Weekly or something, the song Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino came on, and I was like, and I hadn't really given the Arctic Monkeys any attention the last like 10 years, and I was just like, when that came on, I was like, what is this? Like, I was blown away by it, and then I found the album, and I was like, well, like that's pretty much all I listened to for about 6 months straight. But pretty much all year, then that got me back into all the other stuff. I was like, well, there's got to be more. And it's like, and apparently, like those third and fourth albums, like
I'm sure they're good. I'm sure
they're actually brilliant. They're totally really different. But I can see why at the time people didn't like them.
When you were playing on the bonus episode that Andy did on our Patreon, folks, if you want to. Want to listen to that? It's quite a nice little slice of life.
Thanks,
quite a
man.
Delightful little thing. I had a really good time, but
no,
I was
you.
Immediately transported back when some of those songs are playing. It's like I'm Doyle's, or I'm in fucking Bursell's, or whatever. Like, and I'm like, oh shit, like, you know.
Yeah, it was a real, like. I mean, what more? Like, that first album in particular.
They were the same age as us when they released.
That's
that
what I was thinking. Like, they're the same age.
What was it, like the quickest selling number one? It was some record
that
album something. Went to number one or something like that. Like.
And it was like, just all the songs, like I was saying on the pod, but all the songs are just like, it's just like life as a like teenager or like someone in your early 20s.
17,
of just
18,
like going out, like on the pull, like, you know, drinking in fields, like arguing with the missus, like all these little, like just... almost like kid problems, you know what I mean? Or, like, not even problems, but just like life, basically, as we knew it.
Seem the most important to you at that age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, if you even like, by the age, so AM was 2013.
Yeah.
So they're in their mid-20s, I guess, but they have, you know, they've achieved this level of fame and like, listen to like, number one party anthem or,
Yeah,
but it's like they seem older and like more wistful, and it's like, but it's still the same thing of like going back to a house party or something like that.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be like more of like their life. They've lived this like almost celebrity lifestyle that has them more jaded or whatever.
They're not just like small town kids.
Exactly. Like they're way more worldly. Like,
yeah. That album in particular was like, launch them like to this like global fan. I couldn't believe it. I was saying to you earlier,
1 billion.
Like, do I want to know? I was like, over 1 billion streams on Spotify. I was like, what? You know, you forget because, like, it turns out I could have been talking to you about Arctic Monkeys all this time.
Ah.
Sometimes the thing you're looking for is right under your nose this whole time. Huh? So
yeah, you never bring them up.
So here's what I'd like to do. Right, I want to do on the Patreon, and I'll finish on this. I want to do the third and fourth album, and then I want to bring you in, Terry.
Hell yeah!
With the last two, AM and Tranquility Base,
okay.
The ultimate battle.
I will do it for the pod. I will wade into that deep water again.
When you're listening to Tranquility Bay, I want you to get into the mindset of like a Beach Boy Bowie sort of vibe. I don't want you to get into an Arctic Monkeys vibe.
No, I tried that. You told me that before, and I tried it before, and it just didn't hit for me. And like, you know,
just try and go in fresh this time. That's all I said.
I will. I'll give you the old.
That's all I'll ask. Yeah.
You know,
we'll discuss that.
I can still taste that fucking.
That you loved?
No.
Well, look.
It's texture. No, I want to talk about one more thing before we get into the movie.
Go on.
I was at the movies on Monday night.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I went to see Goodfellas on the big screen.
Oh.
My favorite movie ever.
Very nice.
First time ever. Did you go by yourself? Well, my dad, my pappy.
Oh, nice. That's a good time.
Ah, it was great. And it was, I picked up so much more.
Did you?
Like watching it on the big screen that I never ever realized.
What'd you pick up? Like, oh, one, little 1-1 in your match, by the way.
Let's have a look here.
Rashi?
The
goal scorer hasn't even come in yet, so it must have happened. Anyway,
Bruno, apologies. I think it is.
Me, you got him.
So
what did you miss?
Like, even the first scene, you know, when they're driving in the car.
Yeah.
And they hear like the banging.
Yeah.
And then it's like they're all outside the boot of the car. Spoilers for a film from over 30 years ago, but they're all standing outside the boot of a car and they open it up and there's a guy in the back of the trunk and then they start like attacking him with knives and guns and stuff. But like while they're waiting to open the boot of the car, they're all like terrified. Like Joe Pesci, who's this like murderer, he's so like apprehensive looking, and he's like really nervously taking out his knife and all. It's like I never ever noticed that before on the small screen or whatever. Like they're kind of all looking at each other like,
isn't it mad to pick up and like a movie that you would have seen?
I've seen
like 20 times or more,
or even like some of just like the wife, like Lorraine Bracco, like Karen Hill. Like just some of her like facial expressions, like on the big screen, like at her wedding, where she's like, "I was dizzy," you know. They're all called Peter or Paul, or like little things like Polly's introducing them, and he's like, "This is Petey." Oh, sorry, that's Polly. Even I get confused. I was like, or all the little like Joe Pesci ad libs in it, like,
yeah,
you know, there's so many that like you just.
He's just an absolute tour de force in that
like,
movie.
He won the Oscar for it, but I was like...
Did he good?
It really is like, he encapsulates, he is that character. Even though like, it's ridiculous that he's supposed to be, when you first meet him, he's supposed to be 22.
I can't picture Joe Pesci ever being 22.
No, like
at any stage in his life.
He's supposed to be 22, same age as Ray Liotta. Like, they're like supposed to be the same age. And Ray Liotta's supposed to be 21, who is a bit more believable. De Niro, when you first see De Niro, is supposed to be like 29. He has like very black hair. But then by the end of it, De Niro has become like such an old woman.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of questions they're asking him? Like, what is it? Shitty glasses. Do you know what kind of questions they're asking him? I love it.
That's great.
It was fantastic to see on the big screen. It was, you know, something that I
haven't really done that a lot, gone to see classic movies on big screen.
I love doing it. Like, they do the whole Christmas, like, series. This one was a one-off, like, book club. So it was like, you go to the lighthouse, you read the book, and you go see the movie, and then so if you want to hang around and chat about it, you can.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't read the book. I just went with my dad to see the film. But, like, they do, like, a Christmas, like, series around, so like they show like Home Alone and whatever, but like me and Faye had never seen Die Hard before, so we went to see like Die Hard on the big screen. First time I'd seen Die Hard, and man, I was creaming my jeans watching Alan Rickman.
Was this recently?
This was a few 4 or 5 years ago, like,
okay.
And like we did the same Back to the Future, she'd never seen. We went to see that like on the big screen. It's just fucking.
And dead. did you give her as bad of a time as you gave me for not having seen Die Hard for so long? Yeah, just out of interest.
No.
Okay. Okay. Fair my wife. Fair dues. That's my wife you're talking about, pal. And you know what? Speaking of like gangster stuff,
Anyway, this is gone.
I watched this thing. All right, first of all, Sammy the Bull's got a new season out. It's very good.
Fireside with the underboss.
Yeah. But he's got... He was on this other podcast with the guy who he made that movie with that still hasn't come out, that they've completely fucking botched, by the way.
Have they?
Yeah, like, this thing was recorded, I don't know, like, start of the year. And they said, oh, it's... And then, oh, because you waited so long for it, I don't know what they were doing with it. It was supposed to be a movie. Now I think it's like a 10-episode series.
Yeah, you showed me the trailer for it, wasn't it? That it was...
Yeah. Like, and so they had that, but then, and then it was like, oh, because we made you wait, it's going to be free. Now it's not free, it's $40.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, and then, so they did this, like, podcast, like, last week, and again, the two of them are just, Michael Franzese and Sammy the Bull, just at each other, like, the whole time. It's like, he disrespected me. And like, what did I say, Sammy? You know, and he's like, you said you... Yeah. Maybe. But it was bordering on embarrassing. Like, yeah. It was really, like, I mean, so, I'm looking forward to it. Like, to be honest, the podcast, Sammy's podcast, is better than any other thing that they're doing. But
so,
yeah,
what's the new podcast? Hilarious.
This was just a one-off episode. Like, it was hosted by the host of that movie that they made.
Oh, the guy that was, like, the intermediary between the two.
Yeah. But it was just, it's just bordering on, like, and the two of them were like rats, essentially. Like, yeah, you know, they both cooperated, and it was like, he was basically saying how Michael Franzese did nothing, and he's like, you don't know what I did and all this. Like, what did you do? It's like, I was responsible for 19 murders or whatever. He's like, oh, great badge of honor, 19, you shot 19 guys in the back of the head. Like, I didn't say I shot him, I said I was involved in it. Like, it's all this just back and forth. It's like, it was so childish. You're like, I'm getting tired of this now.
You know? I'm going to bed. It's a nation of rats, Andy.
Yeah, so it was, yeah. But it was funny. Listen, Terry.
Yes?
Buddy, can we talk about this movie?
Mank?
Mank.
Mank. Mank, Mank.
Mank, Mank, Mank. Mank, Mank. Don't run. We are your friends.
It was Mankamania for a while last year. Netflix even came up with the slogan, Happy Manksgiving. Jesus. Although the movie did not come out till December, you know. But it was all over the socials, shall we say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to care to guess at the budget?
60 million.
25.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, they had a limited release in the US, and it was released over here, definitely, but I can't imagine it made much money. I could only get my mitts on the US box office. Limited.
All time?
Yeah. Because it's a Netflix movie. Like, what they have to do...
100 million?
No, limited release, Andy, yeah. As in, like, a short window. It's like a 10-day window or something like that.
Yeah, 100 million.
Doubling down on that.
50 million?
No.
10 million?
No.
What is it?
122,252.
Wow.
Well, but it's streaming is where its home is. The reason they do the theatrical window
It's still pocket money, that is.
Yeah, but like, you're paying 12 quid a month, I'm paying 12 quid a month, it's paying for itself. You know, okay. Extrapolate that by, you know, how many subscribers Netflix has.
Look, you're throwing a lot of big words at me right now.
Yeah. I'm going to take them as disrespect.
I don't understand. I won't take them as disrespect.
So the reason they release it in the cinema is you can't have it compete for Oscars if it doesn't get a theatrical release.
Ah, sly dogs.
Yeah. I don't think so. That's what they have to do. They might have changed this year, but essentially that is why you'll see. Like, there's a current Netflix prestige movie, Power of the Dog, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, is out in release at the moment. Limited release.
I kind of understand that though, because if
I want to go see it on the big screen, like,
yeah, but also, like, you know, the Academy are only going to consider movies for, you know, that are released in cinema. Otherwise, they'll say, well, I'm on Netflix too. Why aren't you considering me?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
No one gets out alive. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. This was nominated for 10 Oscars.
I'll save it. Yeah, come on.
Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Score, just to name a few.
I'm so not surprised.
1-2, Cinematography and Production Design.
Two worthy winners. Yeah,
I would agree. Originally, it was going to be made in the late 90s. It was going to be his follow-up to the 1997 movie The Game.
What did he do? What did Fincher do?
Oh, what didn't he do, Andy?
Oh, here we go.
Little movie
Just make it quick.
The movie called Seven.
Okay.
Little movie called Fight Club. Okay. I don't know. You ever heard of Zodiac?
Okay.
How about The Social
Network?
You don't
have to
network?
Be a jerk about it.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. How about Gone Girl?
I'm sorry.
You know.
Okay, so he's
the game,
done a lot.
Panic Room. He is one of the preeminent auteurs of the 20th century.
You're loving this.
I surely am. I'm going to have to change my pajamas when we're finished talking. So it was going to be made in the late 90s. Going to be the follow-up to his 1997 movie, The Game. And it was going to star Kevin Spacey and Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
It could not get any traction with it because he insisted on shooting in black and white.
Okay.
And a lot of people were like, not at that time.
Right.
And the script was written by Jack Fincher, David Fincher's father.
Hey, okay.
He was inspired to write this after reading an article by film critic Pauline Kael. She's a very famous New York film critic.
Okay.
Where she had basically written a story about how she didn't think Orson Welles deserved credit on the screenplay because he didn't essentially write it, and there was
for Citizen Kane.
So there's a big, huge pushback from like a lot of the people in Orson Welles' circle, like Peter Bogdanovich. I don't know. Do you remember Sopranos? Dr. Melfi's therapist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
He's a very famous director. He was very close with Orson Welles. He was like, "This is bullshit." He kind of discredited her essentially.
Right.
The idea that Fincher said he wanted to make this movie not because of like the credit who wrote Citizen Kane. It was more about he wanted to focus on a man who said he didn't want credit and then turned around at the end and actually said, you know what, I want.
Right.
Like, he's like, that's more interesting to me. Like somebody who's like, I don't care. And by the end of it, he was like, this is the best thing I've done. I want my name on it.
Right. Okay.
Now you might be interested, it's like a monaural sound mix to mimic sound mix used.
What's that mean?
So it's a mono as opposed to a stereo sound mix to like make it sound like the movies made in the 1930s.
So you're not getting like footsteps walking from the left speaker over the right speaker and all
like
that sort of
like,
stuff.
You have to do three different tracks. David Fincher has a tendency to shoot multiple takes, so much so that he kind of broke Jake Gyllenhaal's brain when they were making Zodiac.
Right.
And maybe freed him up to do a lot more of his weirder stuff. I think like Jake Gyllenhaal, I don't think he's ever going to work with him again.
Oh, really?
But he made Amanda Seyfried shoot the same scene roughly 200 times.
Oh
with
my
this film.
God.
And she had no lines of dialogue.
What?
Yeah. So, that's
wow.
You know, it's insane.
What a dickhead.
Yeah, maybe. Or
that's
genius.
200 is not genius. To get it, if you're a better director, you'd get it the first time.
His whole thing is he wants to, like, beat the acting out of you.
Right.
So it's so natural. And you can see in his movies, the performances are, by and large, really fucking good. Like,
you would imagine, I guess, that the actors would know that this is his style.
Yeah, when they sign up for it. Yeah. Like, you know. Well, I think,
you know, you're going into a
like,
freak show.
Post Zodiac, like he seemed like his run post Zodiac is Social Network, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Gone Girl, and then this is the only film he's made since Gone Girl. Gone Girl is 2014.
Right.
Like, that's a fucking pretty good three in a row run there.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
And I think, and Zodiac before that, I think Zodiac was where he kind of hit upon this thing of like, I don't want to see acting, I want to see real people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He hired Maurice LaMarche to read every line of Orson Welles' dialogue so that Tom Burke, who played Orson Welles in the movie, could practice his performance while listening to him. Now, Maurice LaMarche mightn't be a household name to you or I, but if I was to say to you, Pinky and the Brain, Andy.
Now I'm listening.
You know the Brain's voice?
That's him?
That's him, and he's doing his Orson Welles impersonation as the Brain.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it? Like, that is interesting. He's the preeminent Orson Welles guy. Like, when they made Ed Wood,
yeah,
Orson Welles is a character in that, and they used his... He didn't play Orson Welles, but he did the voice, and it was dubbed over the actor.
Can I ask you if you know the answer to this, but why is Orson Welles so great? Or, like, why is he so revered?
He made Citizen Kane.
Okay.
Like, he directed Citizen Kane.
Didn't he do that radio thing?
Yeah, I mean, War of the Worlds was the thing. But, like, that was when he was young.
Right.
When he did that. And you see in this film, like, he's doing acting and stuff. Like,
right.
He was a young boy genius from New York. And then he made Citizen Kane. And... although it bankrupted RKO Studios pretty much because it was about William Randolph Hearst, who is a character in this film, and he was like the newspaper man. He basically had enough power to kind of break that studio, essentially. Right. Like, so like Citizen Kane at the time was, I mean, it was nominated for 9 Academy Awards. This movie got 10 nominations. Oh. And it won one Academy Award, Best Screenplay, and this movie won 2 Academy Awards. So, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Just saying, you know. But, like, Orson Welles, that's his legacy. If you mention Orson Welles, you think Citizen Kane.
Right, okay.
Right. Okay. But he's a very good actor as well. He's a very fine actor.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And good director.
I didn't know any of this.
No, he's, and like,
I mean, I knew he's a big deal. I knew, but if you tell me he's an author, he is an author, isn't he?
Auteur.
Oh, but he's a writer, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I think he's written stuff as well. Like, but like,
did he do 1984? Is that meant
to? No.
Who am I thinking of?
George Orwell.
Ah, yeah. That's what I'm... I knew I was mixing... I knew I was mixing... Farm. Yes, I knew I was mixing some people up there. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, and the last thing I'd say, like, between Gone Girl and this, like... Fincher could not get a movie made.
Why? If he's such a hot shit.
His movies cost too much money. They take too long to make, and they're not... While critically, like, they always get nominated for Oscars and stuff like that, commercially, like, the way that, say, by 2014, the movie... market had gone is like, you need to be a superhero movie or something to be making a huge profit. His movies were not making enough money. Like, he had a couple of projects fall apart at HBO because, again, he was like, I need this level of control, I need this budget, and they were like I remember hearing a couple of things that were going to be made, and I was like, that's fucking really exciting, I can't wait to see this series. And it's like, no, just goes away, couldn't do it. And then he found a home at Netflix. I don't know if you watched any of that Mindhunter TV show.
No, I don't think so.
It's really good. It's really good. It's about like FBI profilers.
Oh, yeah.
The serial killers.
It's been on. It's been on the TV.
It's really good. Well, he produced it and directed a few episodes of that. So he's found a home at Netflix. I think his new movie is coming out on Netflix as well. Like, so it's probably happy.
It's a marriage, really, of like... Netflix wants someone exactly like that, like, you know.
And he's like, "Yeah, I want to. Yeah, you give me all.
I don't
this
care
money.
About the money. Like, what are they going to do? It's on Netflix. People are going to watch it.
Yeah,
and also, I mean, like, will win an Academy Award.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they're okay. Didn't win Best Picture, but it's got them. You know, and like,
it's got them in the conversation.
That's the thing. Like, that's what they want every year. They want to be in awards consideration.
Right
now, they want to be, you know, bona fide, as the man would say, you know. And hiring these kind of directors that we were talking about, like last time I went with Spike Lee, David Fincher, you know, getting these guys in, it kind of gives you more street cred.
Yeah,
you're not just Cheers, little brother. To quote Larry David,
to quote LD,
yeah,
I don't want to Cheers, little brother.
Yeah, so I am very interested to hear your thoughts.
Can I pull a fast one on you? Can I ask you, before I talk about this movie, can I ask you what you thought of it?
Andy?
Yeah.
I loved it. I fucking thought it was great. Like,
okay.
Like, and I have a feeling that you probably didn't or wouldn't feel the same way. About halfway through it, I was like, he's not going to like it. But at the start, like, you know what I liked about it?
Yeah.
It was a film that demanded your attention. It demanded, because I remember answering a text message at one point.
Yeah.
And you know the way normally in a film you could just pick up what's going on.
Yeah.
When you're, and it's like, I had to stop and rewind. It was like watching The Witch when they speak in old English. Like, I could not process.
Can afford to miss a minute.
That's the thing. I couldn't. Right. I was like, had to wind it back or whatever. And I mean,
we'll get it. We will get into it.
But like, by the end, at the start, I was like, the very start, I was like, it looks fucking great. But I wasn't sure about it. And once I kind of settled into it, I fucking loved it.
Okay.
Now, I will say, I had smoked a joint just beforehand as well.
Hey-o.
And it was perfect joint watch, I would say.
Well, I smoked a joint before it too, Terry. And
who's this guy? What's going on?
I tell you what, Terry. I absolutely hated it. I hated it so much. And I'll tell you why as well. First of all, okay, I'll say something positive about it. It looked great. And I love the scenery. I love that, like, fake backdrop sort of that you get in the old black and white movies, particularly, like, with the outdoor scenes and stuff like that. Looked really good. Now that I've got that out of the way, it fucking stinks of Oscar fodder. It is the definition. It's the definition of pretentious, right? And they're big words, and I'm going to back them up here, right? It is, first of all, it's pure Oscar fodder.
You said that already, mate.
I'm warming up, okay? Hollywood loves, like, musing on itself.
They love movies about movies. Yes.
Yeah. Particularly about Hollywood movies. So, like,
old
right
Hollywood.
There. Yeah. But my problem is that for me, a schlub like me, who hasn't seen Citizen Kane, who knows nothing about Metro Goldwyn Mayer or William Randolph Hearst.
You know,
I know who they are. Yeah.
It's The Lion. But they produced Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know them for. And I tell you, I'd love to have been watching Tom and Jerry instead
of this.
Yeah, the problem is, I'll tell you why it's pretentious, because they don't bother even. They could have filled
doesn't
the
hold
same.
Your hand, man. Doesn't hold your
they
hand.
They could have filled the same with text on the screen for the first 30 seconds. A little quick, just so you know, here's where we're at this year. Blah, 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 blah. Like,
they,
just
at the very start, they do a little
they
text.
They could have done. They didn't do enough. They could have given us way more. I was completely locked out of the narrative of this whole movie. You know what I mean? I was locked out. I couldn't understand it even if I tried. You know what I mean? Like, and it's in black and white. And it's slow. It's just pure Oscar fodder.
It is not slow, man. This moves. Oh, this fucking moves.
Let me just be honest here.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to be any surprise for you to be like, I didn't get it. Right? But
do you want me to explain it to you?
Genuinely... Hold on, I'm not finished. I genuinely couldn't understand what... Like, I knew they were talking English. Like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, is this one of these, like... These, like... Oh, yeah, technically they're talking English, but no
technically,
sense.
Technically, they're speaking English.
Yeah.
But they're speaking, like, industry English, as opposed
but
to...
But no, like, they're wasting all this... They're wasting all this great set and scenery with, frankly, incomprehensible dialogue for me. Something interesting on the TV there, pal?
Yeah.
Man, what's the score?
Almost just scored.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
That's it.
So, like, and I really, like, tried. Like, I sat and I just
this
couldn't.
This is disappointing to hear. Because
Terry, you know,
I knew, but like, I was also like, there is good fucking.
What's
scene.
Good? I genuinely could, like, here's something, right? Kerry turned around after an hour, right? She was actually asleep, and I was watching a bit of it in bed. And she turned around after an hour, and she's like, "What's the movie about?" And I was like, "I don't know."
Okay,
sums it up.
The framing device is Mank is writing the screenplay.
I get it in general for Citizen Kane, yeah.
And then they flash back to moments in his life that, if you've seen Citizen Kane. Like the election night scene, you know, where the whole thing where they have like conscribed to like screw the socialist person.
I'm gonna be real with y'all, Terry.
Yeah.
Now, Terry, I've never done this before on a podcast. I couldn't finish it.
What?
I couldn't finish it. There was no point.
How far did you get?
About an hour 10. There was no point, Terry.
Oh.
I didn't know what I was looking at. I was just like, again, I'm looking around the sitting room like what's this? What's going on here? Get Back is just sitting there.
What was the last bit?
I couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know.
Okay, so did you get to the part where he's working for MGM?
Possibly, yeah.
And he meets, like, Louis B. Mayer.
Yeah, I saw that. Good scene with him, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I like that.
That scene, like, that was, I was like, whoa, hold on a second here. Like, that scene, he's like, he kicks his brother out of his office and he's like, get out of here. And then, like, Mank and his younger brother are there, and he's like, hey, walk. They're doing the whole walk and talk thing. And he's like, it doesn't stand for Metro Golden Meyer. It stands for, it's like Yiddish or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, people think they're the star here in the studio. We have one star. And he's like, Leo the Lion. All this stuff.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
And he's like a real tough, but even then he's like, hi, how you doing? Like, every time somebody walks by. It's great. Yeah. And he's like, he gets to the sound stage, and then it's like,
he manages to convince them all that
he's
it's
like,
a good
we're
idea.
We're a family here. I need to roll back salaries or whatever. And it's like, he's just said as well, like, we spend $1 million a year buying scripts that we don't make.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I need you, like, worker bees to, like, roll back your salary.
And he gets them up and cheering.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Like, that is.
My note here was, this Meyer guy is improving things. So, like, that was by far, from what I saw, the best scene in the movie.
Okay. Well, this is hard to talk about then. Like,
yeah, look, I'm sorry. But there was no point.
I had to watch.
I knew you were going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah, I had to watch the fucking. I did it without power. I fucking MacGyvered the shit out of it.
Terry, look, I was so insulted by the movie, frankly. And I was like, fuck this movie. I'm not watching the rest of this. And I'll be honest. I fell asleep when I was watching.
You're doing the service here, so our listeners.
Am I?
Yeah.
Fans.
They tune in for our discourse. And you.
we're giving great discourse here.
This isn't discourse.
This is like an old
squabbling.
What's so great about.
This is squabbling, Andy. I wanted to hear.
Folks, I did you a favour.
Ooh, you know what? My mood has just picked up.
You clicking a pen over there or something?
I do that when I'm annoyed. How about that? I do that when I'm annoyed. Ronaldo has just put Man United back in the league. But he's tearing that team apart, apparently.
Oh, brilliant.
Bunch of idiots.
I have Fernandez and Ronaldo on my team. And Smith Rowe. Excellent.
I needed them all.
I was thinking, will I just pretend that I saw it? And whenever you're talking about the bit, I would just be like, yeah, 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 yeah. But I thought, no, like, I'm just going to be on it. I fell asleep when I was watching it, and I just couldn't. Like, it was, Terry, I was back to the pain of watching, just sitting here like,
There's another black and white one coming down the pike too. How about that?
I don't mind that it's black
okay,
and white.
Okay, let me ask you then, of the things you saw, did you like Gary Oldman's performance?
I thought in no way does he deserve that Oscar more than Delroy Lindo.
Yeah, I will say Delroy Lindo is more deserving.
He's part of the fucking scenery, Gary Oldman, in the parts that he's just being Gary Oldman. Like he's not showing me mad emotion like Delroy Lindo did.
It comes later on in the movie.
Okay.
If you were awake or part of it. But sorry. Like him playing the court jester, this guy who's always drunk and it's like, you know, like that was his persona. And it's only as the film goes on, like, you realize, like, the whole part of it is kind of like, also, like, why is he writing Citizen Kane, like, about Hurst, you know, your man from Game of Thrones, your buddy? You didn't recognize him from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Is it Cersei, her father?
Oh, yeah.
Charles Dance. Of course.
Now, can I ask, is this, sorry to interrupt you, but is this a... Like, is this what happened, or is this like a fictionalized version of it?
By all accounts, it is kind of, you know, Mankiewicz wrote this about. Yeah. He wrote it about like Charles Foster Kane and Citizen Kane you know, his.
Because this is what I'd be interested in. I'd be interested in like
me literally. Telling
you, this? You just tell me the story about how
like.
Citizen like, Kane got made, or how, you know, what happens in it. Because, like, I've...
like, Charles Foster Kane is, like, he is Hurst. You know what I mean? Like, it's based on Hurst.
Right.
Like, Hurst is the guy that, like, he ran all the newspapers in, like, he controlled a lot of the media. And, like, what was really interesting in this part, like, I don't know if you even got to it where it was, like, they're making, like, MGM Studios is making, like, film. The whole point of the film, really, is that, like, there's this guy, Upton Sinclair, who's a socialist, who's running for governor of California, and he seems to be getting a bit of traction, and then MGM start producing these film strips that go out that it's, like fake news, essentially.
Right.
And it's, like, that kind of pushes the Republican candidate over the top to win.
Yeah. Okay.
So like, and they're doing that, like MGM are doing that on behalf of like Hearst. Like the whole thing was like Louis B. Mayer was like always deferential to Hearst, he's not in the movie business, quote unquote, but yet he's like the next strata up in terms of power and money and influence, even though Louis B. Mayer is head of a movie studio.
Right.
So the whole thing is like, why is he writing as the flashbacks? Because he seems to be getting along with Hurst. Like, Hurst likes him for most of the movie. And, like, he's like, you're like, why is he writing this film about Hurst? You know, like this scathing takedown, but it's not really Hurst. And then it's like, they're like, oh, is it because he cut you off or whatever, like that? Like, his brother asks him, and he's like, they kind of have a bit of an argument. He's like, don't forget, like, you cast yourself in the role of court jester way before anybody else put you there. Like, and that was always his thing, that it was like, this guy who's a playwright, didn't take movies seriously, just loved getting drunk and, you know, kind of taking the piss.
I feel like Gary Oldman plays that character
a lot. He's good at it. Like, you know, the whole thing as well, though, Gary Oldman is supposed to be 43 in this movie.
Okay.
And he's in his 60s. And David Fincher has said, like, we could have gotten like a beaten up 43-year-old to play it. But sometimes the best actor is just the right for the part or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a very Gary Oldman role, you know what I mean? Like, but that's why I didn't think, like, did he win? He didn't win.
No, he didn't win. Okay. Anthony Hopkins won.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I kind of thought like he was just doing a lot of, you know, like, it was good. I believed him, you know, I believed that he was this character. But like, in comparison to The Five Bloods when we were watching,
it's different. And like, I would, like,
we were more bombastic, I know, but like,
yeah, but we were looking at it last time, the shortlist for best actor that year. I would have taken Gary Oldman out. Like, I was, The only one I haven't seen is The Father, which is what Anthony Hopkins won for, and apparently it's fantastic, like, as in the best performance he's ever given. Like, so, like, he was, you know, they're kind of saying
that Netflix original by any chance?
No, it's not. No. Yeah. But like Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Steven Yeun in Minari, and what was the other one? Oh, Riz Ahmed in Sound of Metal were all fantastic performances. You wouldn't, they're better performances than Gary Oldman.
Okay.
And I would have had Delroy Lindo in ahead of Gary Oldman.
Delroy Lindo wasn't nominated, was he?
No. He won a bunch, like we said, he won a bunch of critics awards and stuff, but like,
that's mad.
The Academy weren't having it.
See, I'm looking through some of my notes here, and like a lot of them, this is one of those, it's just one of those movies. I was like, what the hell is going on? Haha, Terry, come on now. That was another one. This is like no one is listening to the other person. They say something, the other says their thing. There's no pauses.
Just like real life. Just like me and you. What? Please wait for you to stop talking, then I talk. Talk.
Now it's my turn.
Yeah, that was my turn.
But sorry, I don't have anything to start off a new topic on the movie, because I couldn't tell you. Like, you could say, did you get to the scene where, but like, I genuinely, I just hadn't got a clue what was going on, and I'm mad enough to admit it.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to talk you through
the
kind of, like, about halfway through the film, he finishes Citizen Kane, and everybody reads it, and they're like, this is brilliant. But then, like, a bunch of people from the flashbacks that you know, like, we're out in this house in the middle of nowhere. And the whole thing as well, like, I don't know if you picked up on, like, they left him drink, like a box of drink, and then it was like he's not to touch it, though. He's not supposed to touch it, and he breaks into the bottles and then, like, passes out and is, like, sick. Oh, yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Sorry, Paul.
It's my poker face. But he breaks into the bottles. He's not supposed to touch it. And then, like, when he does, he, like, passes out sick. And, like, Orson Welles has put the, like, sedative in the bottle, essentially, to deter him from doing that. Like, and say, like, young Orson doesn't really want us to take any chances.
And did that really happen?
I don't know. But, like, the idea, what happens halfway through it or so, is that, like, he gets Lily Collins, his assistant typer lady, who was fantastic in this film, actually.
Yeah, she was great.
That's Emily in Paris to you and me.
Oh. Someone had a funny name in this. Actors had a funny name. Amanda. Prudence something.
Oh, Tuppence Middleton.
Tuppence Middleton, yeah.
Good actress. Name. She was in one of those, we were talking about Black Mirror when it used to be good.
Yes.
She was in, I think it's that one White Bear, you know, the one where it's like the woman can't remember what's going on and everybody's filming her with their phones and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's a good actress.
Okay, very good.
But the whole thing is he convinces her to, like, get rid of all these bottles because he still drinks them because he's an alcoholic, even though they, like, are, you know, knocking him out. He's still drinking them.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
And then he basically convinces her to, like, replace them with real booze, and the real booze helps him write.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, he can't write when he's like that. She's like, it's, you know, there's only so many days left in the 6 months you promised you'd have it finished.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, once they kind of get drunk, then he, like, gets invigorated and stuff like that. But all these people from the flashbacks come and visit him after they have it done. It's like, they're begging him not to, like, turn it in or whatever, because, like, Hearst will, you know, destroy you or whatever like that. Like, whereas Orson Welles is, like, reveling in this. He's like, man, go, we're gonna do it, we're gonna, you know, but we're gonna stir shit up and all. Like,
did you not think yourself, even liking the movie, that it was a tad sluggish?
I actually thought it zipped along. Like, I was like, I had to go to bed with 20 minutes remaining because I'd started it late.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, I'm just too tired to watch the last 20 minutes properly," and I was raging that I never do that. And then I watched it the next night
I'd love to see the inner workings of how both of our brains process the same thing.
Movies. How about that?
Yeah, I guess you must really like movies. And then I read loads of reviews, and, like, there was a lot of positive reviews, but there was an awful lot of, like, it was a classic case of, like, on Rotten Tomatoes, like, 89% tomatometer, 53% audience score, something, one of those sort of movies.
Yeah.
And a lot of the reviews were very, like, I felt justified, to be honest, when I read a lot of reviews. Like, critics, critics reviews, most of them were good. User reviews were mostly not good.
I didn't think you would like it as much because you hadn't seen Citizen Kane. However, I thought it was, you could follow it enough, like, you know?
Now, like,
The average person could follow it enough.
Excuse me?
Below average.
What are you trying to say?
Way below average.
Dumb! I think, to be honest, what my downfall was, first time watching it, I said to Kerry, let's stick it on. I said, it's a black and white. She's like, ooh. I was like, no. It's like, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, I was on the other side. I was like, that doesn't matter. Like, loads of good black and white movies. So we stuck it on, and I was like, look, I'll ask you again in 10 minutes if you're willing to watch it, and if not, I'll watch it myself. And 10 minutes in, she's like, yeah, it's not really for me. Like, she wasn't, like, hating it on it like I did, but she's like, it's not really for me. So I was like, grand, I'll finish it. And yeah, it was just one of those things. Like, it's just, I just physically couldn't. Where are you going?
Keep going. Keep going.
Sorry. So, folks, let me tell you. While Terry is gone, do not waste your time. I understood a bit of it. I'm just being comedic. And I understood a little bit of it, but I didn't understand about 80% of it. I didn't understand what happened. I didn't understand. We were just talking, officer. but
hey, Bank.
I was saying I was being, like, I would say if I had to put a number on it, I understood about
10%,
20%.
Okay,
if I'm being on now,
there were parts in it that I didn't understand.
Okay,
in terms of when he is in, I don't know if you got, you must have, when it was like he's in a meeting with all these, like, four other guys pitching screenplays to Paramount to David O. Selznick, and David O. Selznick himself, Andy. But that whole thing, I was like, okay, I don't know who these people are, like, in terms of, he's throwing names at you, and, like,
yeah.
I think, like, a film historian would be like, oh, that's him, whatever.
That's the thing, yeah.
But, like, I was also like, but I get who it's supposed to be, or I get the archetype of what it's supposed to be, you know what I mean? And it's I could just vibe with that. Like, I didn't need to be like, oh, like, like, you got the idea, like, of these guys all work with him, and this guy is the most senior of the four.
Yeah, you don't need the backstory on
everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you know, that's, I had something to grab onto. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You didn't.
When I was about 45 to 50 minutes in, I made a critical mistake of, I started, like, paying a bit less attention, and then when I was like, okay, now come on, pay attention. But like you said, 5-6 minutes have passed, and it's completely different. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I was seeing, it was like, it was 2 hours, 10. It was...
Zips by, man. 2 hours.
But then, like, you know, to someone who is mad into classic cinema, I'm sure they absolutely loved it. And, you know, good on yous.
Get there, Andy. I'll make you a fan.
it's like I was thinking, I was watching, well, I won't really talk about it because we're going to do a podcast on it, but I was watching Get Back, and I was thinking, this might be insufferable for someone who doesn't really know any of the, or care about the Beatles, and they're just watching them dick around.
That,
like, you wouldn't cop, like, the little things that you cop, you know what I mean?
Like, Faye doesn't really know a lot of the Beatles' history, and if anything, she's like, would you shut up talking about the Beatles? I'm trying to watch this here. Like, I'm like, oh, and this thing here, like, oh, I didn't know he did that. Look, and the funny thing about this is, like, I kept trying to say to her, because she's like, Ringo's not doing it. And I was trying to tell her, the great soundbite of like somebody asking John,
yeah,
do you think Ringo's the best drummer in the world? Like, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
The Beatles.
I'm trying to tell that. She's like, shh, I'm watching it. Yeah.
But, you know, it had that sort of vibe. It was like, there were so many little references in this movie that I'm like, I'm sure this is really good.
Well, that's the thing. Like all the flashbacks that start happening as the movie goes on, like, similar scenes are in Citizen Kane. So it's like, he has written Citizen Kane from parts of things that have happened to him in his life.
Right.
And, like, there is literally a scene where Orson Welles, like, picks up like a case of beer or a case of drink and like throws that at the wall, and like then he writes that into Citizen Kane. He starts writing that on the sink, and that happens in Citizen Kane.
Okay.
So, you know, I figured you weren't going to like it, but I was hoping that you'd be able to tell me some things that you like.
I thought it was really well shot. I'll say that. It looked fantastic. Mm. It looked really, really, and it looked really different. It looked like a modern but classic movie. Like, it didn't look as much like they were trying to, it didn't look cheap. You know what I mean? Mm. They were very true to the 30s and 40s sort of, you know, style movies. The sound as well, I thought was great. I thought the score was very, very.
The score was cool. And the score was like, that was like Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, was it?
Who have, they'd done like, wow. Pictures, but it was, they did
of
it.
Of Tool fame? No.
Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails, yeah, that's it.
So they've done like his last, I think it was since Social Network. So like his last four now, five. And it was done with only old time instruments. So period instruments.
That's the thing. Like, it's so interesting
to have them do it. Oh, it's a penalty to Man United.
I was thinking, what's going on that screen? Yeah. How are you able to hold this conversation while looking so intensely?
It was VAR. I was trying to wait for them to be like, oh.
I was both impressed and disgusted at the same time.
It made me vomit and ejaculate at the same time.
Oh.
Big wheel style.
Scored it, did he?
I don't know. Wait. Maybe you might be a bit ahead.
So just ask.
Here's the run-up. Oh, yes. Down the middle.
Ronaldo?
You know it, friendo.
Fuck yeah. Another win. Another win for the big dog. Come on, storming up those fantasy charts.
I'm three points off the top in our fantasy league. Somehow. Because I feel like
three points off you.
I feel like I lose every other week.
I felt the same. I lost like the first five straight weeks. It's what got me Ronaldo, to be honest.
I think I might actually end up losing this week.
I think, as I recall, you were losing.
Yes, I think I will lose then.
Anyway, look. I'm sorry that you could. This is one of those ones where I feel a little bit bad that you're such a big movie fan and your co-host is some sort of movie cretin who can't give you the discourse you want, but hey. You shouldn't have picked it.
Should I not?
It's really on you.
No.
It's really your fault.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right.
You fucking jerk. let's get to our rankings or ratings then.
Okay.
Like, you know, like this is obviously like going to be your bottom, is it?
Dead last.
Yeah. Well, give me
and
your
I'll
rating.
Tell you, it's almost impossible for something to get to be below it in the upcoming list. My rating is a 1.
1
out of 100. I'd give it
100?
I'd give it a 2. I just got that reference.
Yeah. Number 1.
Gain
100?
Yeah, I'd give it a 2 out of 10 because it looked great. It didn't.
2 out of 10.
Yeah, crazy. It looked great. But it couldn't be less my kind of movie.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I liked it more than Five Bloods. Yeah.
More than the Five Bloods?
Yeah.
We're from two different worlds.
There was no lag in this film for me.
There's no... Can't you see how high my voice is going?
The whole film's lag.
Wow.
But it was also like...
You are a strange man.
But there's also like some nicely weird bits. Like the bit where like the car crash. He's like, hey, like, you know, like keep your eye on the road there. And he's like, yeah, just let me get the thing out. And they crash. And like your man, like Mank, is being like lifted out. Like by a stretcher, and like he's like, don't you think she loves me though? Like the guy is still there. It's like, what an odd character. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. See, you didn't appreciate that though.
No. It may have happened while I was watching, but
Whatever.
It's weird. I've never had a movie like it, to be honest, where I've been so, like, just, huh? What? Like, I know they're speaking my language, but I'm just not getting it. Didn't I? Anyway, we've been over it.
Yeah.
I knew you'd be disappointed. I was waiting to rip this off, to be honest.
Look, why don't you tell the good folks out there about our socials and all that stuff? Where you can find us.
You son of a bitch. Yeah. You can find us on Twitter. WSGA pod. You can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Podcast. Folks, more so, I mean, I'm fine with letting Terry down, but you know what? I feel like I let you down a bit, so hey.
You know what though? The energy was high enough, though, even though you had
I was passionate about it, but nothing else. And also I meant to say at the start when we were talking about our Spotify rap, but a few people had us as their top podcast.
That really warms the cockles of the hearts, I have to say. Like,
so thank you very much, because we were only saying, like, there'd be a few weeks ago by where, like, you wouldn't really hear much or get much feedback. People are just living their lives.
Exactly.
Like, basically.
Trying to survive this pandemic.
But, you know, so, like, on times where we're like, oh, you know, or if it's a bit of an effort to do the pod or we have to move things around and, you know, all this sort of stuff, it's just great to see people actually, like, appreciating it. Yeah, and saying, you know, oh, it's my favorite pod and all this sort of stuff. So thank you very much.
Yeah, really makes, appreciate it. Makes it seem worthwhile, almost.
You said it, friend. Yeah. Almost.
Almost.
Why don't you tell them people what else they can do for us, Terry?
Well, you know, if you want to be one of the cool kids, one of our, I think we're still calling them Players Club, why don't you come on over to the Patreon page for the low fee, $5 per month, €450, and of course, we don't know what it is in sterling.
Frankly, we don't want to know.
Behind that paywall, you get access to archived episodes of this very podcast. What's So Great About? We've done miniseries on Marvel. We've done miniseries on 90s action. Miniseries on Ryan Gosling. Miniseries on Big Willis Flops.
Will Smith, to me and you.
That's it. You get four of them a month. You get four episodes a month. So, like, it used to be two of the What's So Great About and two kind of bonus ones. Now we're kind of just going all kind of loosey-goosey with the bonus stuff.
So you basically get eight episodes, so four new ones and four standard ones like this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Early as well.
Yeah, you get your early access. The idea with what we're doing now is we're kind of getting a bit experimental. We're still sticking to our core, you know, stuff. So we're doing a top five gigs as requested by one of our lovely patrons. Our top five gigs ever. We've done a lot of top fives behind the wall there. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done. I was just flicking. Speaking of Spotify, I was flicking through my Spotify, and I was like, "Oh yeah, all the playlists we used to make for one another." So, like, we've done one on Terry's Teenage Tunes.
Yeah,
where it's, you know, I made a list of stuff I was listening to when I was a teenager.
And his hair-raising adventure where you played a bunch of, like,
hair metal.
Yeah. We've done album openers. We've done acting performances. Top five Beatles songs. Huge amount. We've probably done about 20 top fives.
Yeah, like, and we've done episodes on Beyond the Mat. We've done episodes on
a bunch of wrestling ones.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had behind that paywall. It's really, really good. Come on, join us. I don't.
And what if they can't do that, Terry?
Well, if they can't afford that, I know it's tough out there, pandemic and all that, but you can do something else for me. Now, Andy.
Yes?
Did you know that in this movie,
yes,
there were 60 bottles of drink left by Orson Welles for Herman J. Mankiewicz? And did you know that there are 12 months in a year? Now, if you divide 60 by 12, what do you get? That's right. 5.
I wasn't expecting coincidence?
I think not. And that is exactly the number of stars I need you guys to give this show a review.
Brilliant.
Huh? Literally just came up with that right there.
Sometimes I open my mouth and I don't even know what's going to come out.
Yeah, I blacked out. What happened? So, yeah, give us a 5-star review, will you? Come on.
Give him a review, will you?
Yeah. Be fucking sound. Here's a review. Here's a 5-star review. Really helps grow the podcast. And you know what? I love seeing us back in the charts. You know?
It sustains us.
It's been a while.
Everything I can't remember. Okay, you went with first two. Okay. Well, look. On that bombshell.
5-star review. And you know what? Tell a friend. Tag a friend.
Yeah.
You know, post. Tag us on social media. Say we're great.
And if you like us, hey, tell us in private. DM us. Say, hey, just want you to know. Bloody love you. How desperate.
And then we will post it on our Twitter, Instagram.
We'll screenshot it and we will post it for clout.
Yeah.
That's
how things work these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you just got to repost.
I know it. You know it. This idiot holding the camera here knows it.
Bye, job a lot on a body over here.
Next week we have one of my movies, and I think it'll be right up your alley, to be honest, Terry. Although I think looking at it,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh really?
Yeah, there's one I'm really. Is this his house?
No.
Okay.
It is not. It
is for his house.
It is the Forgotten Battle.
It does not exist. Never heard of it.
I think it might be a Dutch movie.
Okay, all right.
But it looked great, and I heard David Crosby saying it was great as well after I'd picked it.
Okay.
So, he should know.
Yoo-hoo. Is anybody
out there?
Oh, no.
So, look, on that note, thanks for tuning in. I hope that we gave you something, if not a credible movie review.
A few laughs, huh?
Yeah.
Andy.
Huh? What's he like, huh? Yeah.
You got something to say to the good folks at home?
All of us love you.
And if you want the big L from me, you get it behind the Patreon.
You gotta pay for that.
Pure toner.
Folks, thanks very much for listening. All that stuff we said before, even if you don't do any of that, we still love you. If you're listening to us right now, thanks very much.
Andy can say it. I can't say it. Legally, I can't say it until we're behind the paywall. Like, legally can't say it until we're behind the paywall.
Folks.
I'm gonna take my thumbs.